Good morning. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." I am thankful to look out and to see so many friends and loved ones that are here. Especially, I'm thankful for Carter and Melanie. So, if you're not aware, they were married yesterday. And as they begin their life together, they wanted it to be in the Lord. And so for that, we are very thankful. And I trust you will be blessed in your decision as you continue to put God first and one another first. I trust there will be a long and happy marriage together. As we come together, I'm excited to see Miss Sue Cox here. She's been telling me she was coming. We are glad she is here, as well as my good friend the Hensons and you. I'm glad you're here as well. You know, it was a few weeks ago I was up here and we spent our time studying in the work of the church is working. I believe it was actually 2 weeks ago. Now, as we looked at that and we went through, I got home and I had one of those great text messages from Barnabas, one of the Barnabases that sits in the pews, and there are many of you, and it said, you know, that was a great lesson, but one day I want you to do a follow-up, and let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 10, let us not grow weary in well-doing, in doing good. And I believe it's an excellent study, and so this morning we're going to take our time to look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, as we consider, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of doing good. Look forward to the next opportunity that presents itself, because we want to take advantage of the moment. We want to do our best for the Lord. You know, I look at Jeremiah. If you go back to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 20, you know, the idea came across his mind that, you know, I could quit now. I could stop saying all these things and teaching what I have. If you look at verse 9, he says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him." He said, "I'll put a stop to that." He said, "Nor speak any more in his name." But then he goes on to say, as he concludes the verse, "But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary of holding it back." And he said, "And I could not." Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You know, I remember, as I think back through the years, a wise man once told me about an occasion where there was a young person that had come in and they had been converted to the Lord and they were just on fire. They were ready to go. They wanted to go door knocking and they wanted to go visiting and they wanted to go talking and they were excited and they're like, "Hey everybody, let's get together and let's go do this well doing. Let's go help this person that's in need. Let's go teach this person that hasn't heard. Let's go search for someone that desires to hear." And he remembered one of the older members said, "Don't worry. His fire will soon go out." And I was told, don't ever let your fire go out. Matthew chapter 5, we often look at verse 16, where it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." But if you go back to the verse prior, he talks about the candlestick. We often have the young children sing about that candlestick. As we go through the pew packers, he says in verse 15, "Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Don't let your fire grow out. Don't let your zeal for doing good be dispersed. Don't let your hope and conviction and excitement wane just because you've been a member of the church for 10 years. Or as for Catherine, for a year. It just popped up. Don't let your fire go out because you've been a member for 50 years or 70 years. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Now, I've got to go ahead and admit I was a little late getting my lesson done. We didn't have time to prepare a PowerPoint that I know of. So we will begin in Galatians chapter 6, and you're going to have to listen close because the notes will not be on the screen. Galatians chapter 6, unless I see them pop up. Verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Keep in mind, the message or the whole message as we look at verses 1 through 10. He says, brethren, in verse 1, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He begins by referring back to that of the restoration of a brother. But as you continue through the thought, Galatians chapter 6 is all about doing good. Within this thought of doing good for his brother, he says, bear one another's burdens. You see the idea of fixing someone, and then he says, Instead of getting the idea where you get self-consumed and fixing someone else, he said, bear one another's burden. He said, join in it with them. And as he continues to go on and he talks, verse 3 says, anyone thinks of himself to be something. In that context, in verse 1, you get the impression that he says you might have the idea that you're something, and so therefore join in the trouble, verse 2, so that in verse 3 you will realize I am still nothing, but rather I care for another. He says in verse 4 and 5, rather consider yourself. He says in verse 6, he says, you as a spiritual person, one that is taught in the Word, share. Share in the good things. He says, let your work be done, verses 7 through 9. And then he says in verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. You know, in verse 1, as we start out, he says, if a brother's overtaken in a fault, he says, if a man specifically, understanding that the person is a brother, because there's a restoration that takes place in verse 1. They're restored to a former glory. You know, you look at the restoring of cars and all the work that goes in. Well, it's not because you want that car to be ugly and diminished and not work and operate correctly when you're done, but rather you want it to be beautiful. You want it to be, as some often say, as good as the day it came off the showroom floor. A lot of times within restorations, it's better than it was the day that it came off the showroom floor. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, the responsibility of restoring the brother resided with the brethren. But if verse 26 was tied in, we recognize that being self-willed or having ill will was already confronted. Now, I see it's been separated in my Bible too. But if you hold chapter 5 with chapter 6, you see in verse 26, he says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You better consider carefully. Don't let it be about that. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, he already took care of this self-willed or having ill will towards another brother. He says, That needs to be cut out. It's already been confronted and dealt with. And so therefore he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, he said, you who are spiritual. Faithfulness for the brethren is the goal. You look back at James chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20, and he talks about converting one who was a brother that had fallen away, and he said, they saved a soul from death. The whole goal, the whole purpose is when one falls away, overtaken in a trespass, the goal is that they be restored. To be overtaken is to be ensnared. I think in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, where he says, beware. He says, be watching, be considering the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talks about this being aware. He says in verse 3, he says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, we see his work, we see what he did. It says, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He said, beware, but I fear lest somehow Satan bring you down. Don't allow it to be such. But rather, let us be the spiritual person that is living in accordance with God's word, that is encouraging others, fellow brethren, those outside, those inside, all we come into contact with, to stay true to our Lord. You know, that spiritual person in chapter 6 is the person that's spoken of in chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23. Another song we sing in our pew packers. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He says, against such there is no law. You who are spiritual, bear the fruit of the Spirit. You who are spiritual, is it the world's responsibility to restore the brother that was overtaken in a fault? It's not. We don't look to the world to restore us. It's those who are in Christ. It's those who are spiritual. As we strive to live for Christ, the design is to be spiritual. He goes on to say, considering yourself, lest you're also tempted. Back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You've got two opposite sides. You've got the lust of the flesh. You can choose to pursue it. You've got the Spirit. You can choose to be spiritual. He says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. And then he says, in the spirit of gentleness. You know, I've heard the phrase, with white gloves. I've never personally worn white gloves. That's probably because if I put them on, they'd automatically be dirty. I could have got out of the shower and put on white gloves, and the grease would have come from the pores in my hand and ruined them. Jesus says, as you consider restoring such a one, listen carefully. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Without that spirit of gentleness, I believe you've already fallen. You've fallen prey to what he's warning against. Verse 26 in chapter 5, he said, don't be self-willed. Verse 1 in chapter 6, he says, in the spirit of gentleness. Then he goes on to say, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Through that temptation, we see the end result. A spirit of meekness is exactly the opposite of what we see from the Pharisees. You know, in Luke chapter 18, the Pharisees, man, were they sold on themselves. Boy, do we have it all together. Luke chapter 18, you drop down to verse 11, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you. I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I have. I think as we consider the church, as we consider ourselves, you know, I feel very blessed to have knowledge that comes through the study of God's Word. But I want to tell you, be very gentle as you deal with the world. The Pharisee was well studied, and he was caught up in what he knew. We looked at Matthew chapter 25 last week, or 2 weeks ago. Sorry, Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, he said, whatever the Pharisees tell you to do, to observe, he says that do. Listen to their message. He said, but don't be like they are. They were self-willed. They were caught up in themselves. They were caught up in what they know. Well, look how much better we are than the world. We've got it all together. I've been studying my Bible and I know they're wrong. And so I'm going to call it out and tell you they're wrong. Teaching in a spirit of meekness and gentleness. The Pharisee had a problem because he was sold on what he knew and he wanted to beat you over the head with it. Thank you, God, I'm not like them. Thank you, God, I'm not an extortioner. Thank you, God, I'm not as unjust, unholy, decrepit, and miserable as that person over there. They don't recognize what the Lord has done for them. They don't recognize the blessings, and so therefore, they are mud between my toes. He said they're unjust, they're adulterers. He said, look at this sorry tax collector, worthless. He doesn't understand, isn't as well studied as me. He doesn't know the truth like I know the truth. He said, thank God I'm not a tax collector. As people that study and give your life to the Word, I encourage you, think very carefully about a spirit of meekness and a spirit of gentleness as you strive to reach the world. Verse 13, the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who is Christ pleased with? The battle to pursue the flesh is in opposition of that of pursuing the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Remember, we're in the chapter 6. But in Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. He said, follow after the Spirit rather than after the flesh. Because they're in opposition. The warning is there to pursue the Spirit. The Christian is to be on guard. The pulpit commentary, as he talks about this spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted, says the Christians to be on guard against his own weak and corrupt nature, lest he withhold help or adequate help, which is what's spoken of in verse 2, lest in helping he get betrayed in the sin of Pharisaic self-righteousness. To aid our brother, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, to help them be restored, in Galatians chapter 6 verse 1, requires that we take part in verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, as you go throughout the New Testament, we see the many times where we share in joys, where we share in sadness, where we share in excitement. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmities or bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. We're there to care for others. We're there to help each other. Just as in a marriage, Christ says, husbands, love your wives. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and you drop down. He said, verse 14, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. And then he said, be patient with all. Be patient with all. You know, as you look at the New Testament, the law of Christ is in opposition of that of the law of sin and death. They go against one another. The law of sin and death, in that you sin, you're going to die. The law of Christ was that you can be forgiven, that you can have hope, that your sins can be washed away. If you look at Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, as you look at verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God that we live in a time under the law of Christ. The law of the Spirit. And in that we reside. Back in Galatians chapter 6, as you drop down to the third verse, he continues with his thought there. All right, DJ, you were right. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. DJ told me I'd get through the first three verses and rush through the last two. Overestimating oneself results in yielding to the temptations listed in verse 1. He said, you think to be something, think you're something? He said, you deceive yourself. Because that's what the Pharisees thought. He said, they sure were sold on themselves. Think about 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, as you drop down to verse 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, looking for opportunity to take advantage of and destroy. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone is among of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think more highly than you ought. Don't get too sold on what you know. Look, what you know, do it. That's the point in Matthew chapter 23. Live according to the word. But don't get so caught up in it that you lose your spirit of meekness, your spirit of gentleness, your spirit of patience as you deal with others. You look at Christ. As he taught the need to love. As he taught you the truth. But as he stood there with the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Neither do I condemn you." He said, "Go your way and stop doing what you had done. Sin no more." Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 speaks about examining self. The self-examination, considering oneself. We're going to look at it more this afternoon. Let each man examine him himself, that he will have rejoicing in himself and in himself alone. Verse 5, "For each one shall bear his own load. It comes down to you." And in verse 9, he says, "Let us not grow weary in while doing good." Why is that important? Because in verse 5, you have to bear your load. I can tell you about some people that bore their load, that carried the weight on their back to do for the Lord. And I encourage you, make it your effort. Verse 10, "As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Let us do good unto all men. Real quick, I want to tell about some good that's been done for you. My Lord came to this earth, leaving the glories of heaven and living a perfect life, still said, "Father, not my will, but yours." He said, "Whatever it takes for mankind to be saved, I want to make sure it happens. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save you." So he was hung on the cross. The blood drained from his side. He was buried in a tomb, and he conquered death. And all of that was so you could follow, so that you could enjoy forgiveness of sins, so that you could see in Acts chapter 2, when they said, "Repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins." Just as Christ died, I encourage you, turn from the world, turn from the lust of the flesh, and pursue the Spirit. Give your life to Christ, being buried in the water as Christ was buried in the tomb. Bearing that cross, just as Christ did, making a lifestyle of living for Him. We call it rising to walk in newness of life. I encourage you today, we're going to be back at 1 o'clock and we're going to continue to understand, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of living for the Lord. Don't let your fire burn out. If you're not a Christian, you have the opportunity to follow Christ's example. The water is ready. The opportunity is now. If you haven't given your life to Christ, please come while we stand and sing.